Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hey, good morning, guys. It's Sam. Chris, I don't know if I would be quoting Abraham Lincoln in the context of trust. I mean, do you know that during the Civil War, which really had nothing to do with slavery, was more about keeping a southern state from seceding, that he actually jailed tens of thousands of people without trial, without charges, held them for months because they were journalists and people who spoke out in opposition to his program?
Yes, I know that completely.
Okay. I mean, to me, that's not somebody that's trustworthy when they're acting like a dictator. I don't know if I'd be quoting them. But have you also, I want to talk about...
But don't you think the people's reputation improves over time?
Well, when you have, government schools that teach revisionist history and tell us, oh, no, this was about slavery, even though it had nothing to do with slavery, then, yeah, his image will improve because the government schools are lying to them and telling them this, pro-statist view of the world. And that's part of the problem. That's where the indoctrination starts, is teaching these kids in school that, oh, government's always good, and look at all the good things that we've done, while covering up all of the, the horrors and atrocities and the harm that they cause in the community and the world overall.
But the but part of it also goes, just because the government schools are teaching you, your education shouldn't stop there. People like to say Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, but if you understand the Emancipation Proclamation, the only slaves that were freed were slaves, were states that were in rebellion. If you were in D.C., Baltimore, Maryland, your slaves were, and you were a slave, you weren't free. So that's part of our responsibility to learn more on our own.
Well, I would say that, the government, just because the government runs the schools doesn't mean that education has to start there either. I would say advocate people be allowed to keep the money, spend it in the way that they think is best, and educate their kids in a way that is in line with their morals, with their views, with their principles, not the ones that the state wants to force on all the people so that they can continue doing this horrible system on all of us that's bankrupting the country and running us into an incredibly long and horrible depression. Do you guys know who Lysander Spooner is?
No, I haven't heard that name.
He ran a courier service in the 1800s, and he did very well at it. He started taking away business from the U.S. mail service, so they passed a law, and they made it illegal for him to compete with the postal service. They started arresting his couriers and put him in jail. He wrote a great essay called The Constitution, or No Treason, The Constitution of No Authority, very, very famous man for what he did. And I want to put that in the same light as the garbage collection ordinance that you guys were talking about a few weeks ago. And the idea was, well, if the trash is collected here in Keene, it has to be taken to the Keene City dump. Well, who owns the dump? The city. So what you did is, in fact, just legislate a monopoly on all the trash collected in the city. Now, we had this entrepreneur who lives outside the city who was taking the trash back to his dump because his dump was more efficient, more competitive. And what'd you guys do? You want to pass a law that outlaws it, and the effect is he won't be able to do business in Keene without being forced to go to the Keene monopoly dump provider that's been legislated by law. And so he will either have to raise prices or go out of business, and somebody else will come in and charge higher prices for trash collection service. And in the end, it's the community that suffers. It's the community that pays for the inefficiencies at the city dump, and it's the same thing that happened to Lysander Spooner. They just passed a law that made it illegal for him because he was more efficient and more effective at providing a given service. And, here we are 100 years later, right here in the small town of Keene, and absolutely nothing has changed. Government's still doing business the same way it always has, so to suggest that somehow now things are going to be different, I think is pretty silly.
I just one small correction, and I don't think that anybody said, including the man who stood up and spoke about his operation in Jaffrey, I don't think he ever said that he was more efficient or more effective. It was just that he had opened this business in Jaffrey, and it was part of his income, and that was why he was talking about it. But I don't think they compared the two.
Right, but logic would dictate if he was dramatically more expensive to dispose of the trash in Jaffrey than in Keene, he would naturally, being an entrepreneur and somebody doing business to make a profit, he would take his trash where it's cheapest. So instead, he's driving it 15 minutes away, paying fuel prices to transport that. So clearly, he wouldn't do that if it was cheaper just to take it right locally in Keene. So obviously, that's his driver, whether he said it or not.
Well, I mean, he owns the transfer station in Jaffrey, so of course it's less expensive for him to take it there. But, you know, so that's, I mean, that I just think it's like comparing apples and oranges, but anyway.
All right. Well, thank you for letting me share that.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hello.
Yes. Hello.
I want to respond to the fellow who talked a couple of times ago. I think his name is Sam or something that effect. I mean, this is about as wrong as you can get. You know, these bloggers and people who have opinions and everything, all they need to do is possess a good history book and keep it in their home, and before they open their mouth, stop reading it. When he says the Civil War had nothing to do with slavery, I'm sorry, it had everything to do with slavery. Without slavery, there'd have been no Civil War. Why do I say that? Look at the Missouri Compromise of 1820. Maine came in free. Missouri came in slave. Jefferson said, I hear a fire bell in the night. Look at the nullification crisis in the 1830s. Calhoun of the sovereign state of South Carolina, which I really hope someday will be just cut off from the Union and float out to sea. The whole nullification crisis between Calhoun and Jackson, in which Calhoun threatened the might of the central government against that renegade state. How about the Compromise of 1850? In which the three greatest statesmen of the time had their last say, Webster, Calhoun, and Henry Clay. How about the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850, when even Emerson said that everything had gone evil? How about the election of Franklin Pierce in 1852, a northerner who favored the South and who had as the Secretary of War Jefferson Davis? How about the Kansas-Nebraska Act of 1856, in which Kansas would come in a slave and Nebraska would come in free. The senator from Massachusetts, Sumner, had his head beaten in by a member of Congress from South Carolina. How about the publication in 1852 of Uncle Tom's Cabin, the most important book that ever was written with the greatest circulation in American history? How about the Lincoln-Douglas debates of 1856? How about the election of Abraham Lincoln himself in 1860 over three other candidates who said that I am not here to get rid of slavery or to keep it. I am here to save the Union. But in fact, it was to save the Union so that all people would be free. And, of course, he used the effects of the dictator while he was ruling. Of course, he suspended habeas corpus, and then the Congress put it back after. But does Mr. Sam think that he was running a picnic? He was presiding over the greatest massive destruction between states and the federal government that had taken place, and he also authorized, after the South began the shooting and the bloodiest bloodletting of the 20th of the 19th century anywhere on earth, the awful Civil War. And as Lincoln said, after all they tried to do, and the war came. And if he thinks there's any doubt at all about Lincoln's intentions, however direct they were at sometimes, indirect they were at other times about slavery, let him then read the second inaugural address. After the Gettysburg Address, the greatest speech in the English language ever made, and that includes Winston Churchill. I tell Sam to do his homework before he shoots his mouth off.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I feel like I don't know anything about history at all. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hey, good morning. Ian from FreeKeen.com. How are you today?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Good. You know, I think Sam was being pretty hyperbolic today, and I happen to agree that it was not... that he was wrong, that slavery definitely was a factor in the Civil War. However, there were other factors as well. So the history you learn in government school kind of portrays slavery as really the primary reason, when the main reason for the Civil War was that the Southern states wanted to leave the Union, and Lincoln did not want to allow that to happen and was willing to slaughter people in order to keep the Union together. aside from that, but slavery was definitely an issue as to why they wanted to leave the Union. Another issue as to why they wanted to leave the Union was because the southern states, people down there felt they were being taxed unfairly as compared to the northern states. And Chris was right when he pointed out that the Emancipation Proclamation did not free any slaves in the north. So clearly, Abraham Lincoln really didn't care. In fact, he made statements to the effect that he didn't really care about freeing the slaves. If he did, try to portray himself that way, it was really just a front to keep the southern states in the Union. And of course, you look at slavery around the rest of the world. Most of the rest of the world got rid of slavery without slaughtering their own people. So the whole idea that it was somehow necessary to suspend habeas corpus, that it was necessary to act like a dictator, that it was necessary to kill our own brothers and sisters in order to in order to get rid of slavery is fallacious, because the rest of the world just got rid of slavery through peaceful means. Now, the South, the Southern folks that fired on that fort were certainly wrong in the way they went about attempting to secede, and that's where they made a critical error. However, I hope that sets some of the details straight. It wasn't only about slavery. Slavery was an issue, but there were other issues at hand. And I think aside from that, secession is an idea whose time has come again. We had, I think it was Mike that was calling in earlier, talking about the federal government. You guys sounded like you were in fair amount of agreement with him as far as their the way they impose on local governments and things like that. I think it's high time we started talking about declaring independence and getting New Hampshire and Keene out of the federal government. There's no reason whatsoever for us to be involved with a gang of criminals that takes a significant portion of our income and then deigns to distribute it in the way they think is right. How do y'all feel about that?
Well, as you were talking, I was thinking maybe the reason that this goes back to the other countries that settled slavery more peaceably than the United States did. Maybe they looked at what we did and said, well, now we know how not to do it, and tried from going on from there.
As far as the other country, most of them got rid of slavery before the United States.
Yep.
The United States was about to get rid of slavery anyway because it was no longer economically feasible. And
True. And
the cotton crop had done a job on the quality of the soil. So once Texas and a few other places had used up their soil, cotton wasn't going to be a valuable, economic viable substance in the United States. So, but yeah, slavery had an important part in the Civil War. A lot was states' rights. And the other part is when you go in and look, there's a famous speech by Lincoln. He said three things really quick. If it means keeping everybody enslaved to stay a nation, I'll do it. If it means freeing every slave to stay a nation, I'll do it. If it means freeing some and keeping others enslaved, I will do it. President Lincoln's mission and only mission was, I will keep the United States as the United States no matter what the cost is.
He was a sick, sick man. Willing
Chris,
to
how do you have time to learn
people.
All this?
Again?
I just asked Chris how he had time to learn all this. But anyway, well, thank you very much for calling.
I didn't get an answer from you about how you felt about declaring independence today in a peaceful manner, of course, without firing on any forts.
I don't think so.
I don't agree in secession. I agree in electing better people that are going to stand up for us.
They've been saying that forever, though, Chris, and look what's happened.
Well,
You bring the Republicans in, they increase the size of the state. You bring the Democrats in, they increase the size of the state. Everything gets more oppressive, more expensive, and over time. Government has never been rolled back, and it doesn't matter who you elect, because the people in search of power, especially at the federal level, are the ones that want to create new programs, that want to lord power over people, that want to be in charge. They don't want to cut things back. They don't want to change things. So the only way it's going to ever end is when it comes crashing down like it did with the Soviet Union.
Maybe we can have a quiet, bloodless revolution.
I agree with Cynthia.
Now.
Like in Keene, we have non-political elections. You elect the individual.
Exactly.
That's what we need at the state and federal level.
357-1290. Good morning. You're on Talkback.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Good. And to overdo this whole Lincoln discussion, the one other piece that's just kind of interesting to it all, and this is what I've read recently, too, is that the reason Lincoln did the Emancipation Proclamation was to show France and Britain, who were absolutely anti-slavery, that the North was anti-slavery, so they wouldn't go in and side with the South in the Civil War. So the reason ultimately Lincoln went that way was a political move to make certain that people didn't rush in and help the South. So that's what I've read recently, and it's kind of what is out there. So I thought that that was kind of interesting, too.
Okay, well, thanks for telling us that.
Have a good, have a good morning and afternoon.
Well, the gentleman is correct because Britain wanted the South's cotton.
Yes, right. That's the sometimes it all comes down to somebody,
comes down to money.
Yeah,
it economic
does,
and money.
It? It does, doesn't it? And you know, I think what you said is a good point though about local elections. Whenever I talk about politicians and being corrupt and or being I don't even think they're corrupt. I just think they're misguided. I don't think they want to be bad politicians. I think they just are. But I think they just end up that way. But I think locally, I mean, I have said this before, in 18 years on the city council, I have never been offered one free dinner in return for anything or anything. 357-1290, good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If the local and state governments are concerned about federal intervention, why don't you all just stop taking federal grants, back off of that federal trough, and stop taking the grants, and then we don't have they don't have power over us.
More and more communities, especially with the stimulus plan, and they looked at the long-range costs, and they've said no. Portsmouth turned down a few of their water treatment projects because they said, holy crap, this is going to cost us more than we're going to get out of it. More and more communities are now looking at the long-term consequences of free money up front.
Right.
It's not free money. It's our money. They're taking part of and giving some of it back to us with lots of strings attached to it.
Right.
And as I see it, you know, I mean, that's where we need to start. We need to back off that federal trough, and then they don't have the control over us. We've done it to ourselves.
That's true. And yet, Chris will agree with me, I'm sure. As someone on the finance committee for the city council, it's really hard when the government comes in and says, we will do this and we'll give you 95% of the cost. If you will do this, you only have to pay for 2.5% of it, and the state will pay for 2.5%, just for example. It's really hard to not accept that money.
It's really hard not to accept a bribe, too.
Well.
So you've got to have some ethics somewhere. that's what they're doing. They're bribing us with the money so they can have control over us.
Well, that could be true. Could be true. But I think it's tough to refuse it when you think, oh my goodness, if we don't accept this money from the feds, it's going to cost the taxpayers of the city of Keene a lot more money to raise that.
The most powerful.
It depends on what it's for.
Well.
It's something they've mandated, or it's something we want to do. You know, we've got to control ourselves, not let them control us, and we can do it without secession. We can't, you know, I certainly don't agree with that, but, you know, we can do ourselves a favor by backing off that trough.
Well, I think it's a good idea. I'm just not sure how you do it, but I think it's a good idea.
Say no.
That's right. That's the most powerful word.
Just say no,
Nancy. Say no.
It's a pretty powerful word.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. What were you going to say, Chris?
I'm just going to say the most powerful word is to say no at times.
Right. That's true. That's true. But.